Chapter 20. There he is still regarded as one who had something about a magical and unearthly. And his mystery let him remain, for a man, no less than a landscape, who awakens an interest under uncertain lights and touches of unfathomable shade, may cut but a poor figure in a garish noontide shine. When she heard of his mournful death, Marjorie sat in her nursing chair, gravely thinking for nearly 10 minutes, to the total neglect of her infant in the cradle. Jim, from the other side of the fireplace, said, "You are sorry enough for him, Marjorie. I am sure of that." "Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, yes, apostrophe," she murmured. "I am sorry." Apostrophe. After a moment, she added, "Now that he's dead, I'll make a confession, Jim, that I have never made to a soul. If he had pressed me, which he did not, to go with him, when I was in the carriage, that night beside his yacht, I would have gone. And I was disappointed, that he did not press me." Apostrophe. Suppose he were to suddenly appear now, and say in a voice of command, "Marjorie, come with me." Apostrophe. "I believe I should have no power to disobey." Apostrophe. She returned, with a mischievous look. "He was like a magician to me. I think he was one. He could move me as a lodestone moves a speck of steel." Dot dot. "Yet no," apostrophe, she added, "hearing the infant cry, he would not move me now. It would be so unfair to baby." Apostrophe. "Well," apostrophe, said Jim, with no great concern for La Jalousie retrospective, apostrophe, as George Sand calls it, had nearly died out of him. "However he might move, he, my love, he'll never come. He swore to me. And he was a man of his word." Apostrophe, apostrophe, Midsummer, 1883. End of Project Gutenberg's Romantic Adventures of a Milkmaid, by Hardy. Format by Gutenberg Edition.